Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, October the 15th, 2020. We are reading from the Big Book, continuing Bill's story on page 11, the fifth paragraph, That Floored Me, and reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Pat G., 12 Traditions, Karen W., and readers of the text, Shelley E., Leslie W., and Brandy M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, October the 14th, the 10 a.m. meeting is 15546. And this morning, Thursday, October the 15th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 15551. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pat G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I'm Pat G., and I'm a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Pat G. And now Karen W. will read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Karen W. How our meeting worked. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of Bill's story. We're on page 11, the fifth paragraph that floored me, and we will be reading and sharing on that one paragraph only. Shelley E., could you get us started, please? Press star 1 to unmute, Shelley. Okay, Shelley, we still can't hear you. Brandy M., could you read for us, please?
Sure, sorry. Just let me get there. It's 12 steps.
Page 11.
That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the table. We shouted great tidings. Do I stop there, Lynn?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. I'm distracted. I'm Brandy M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Alberta, Canada. In this, you know, Bill seeing that this is, you know, that it's different. It's different. And that at a miracle is sitting directly across the table. You know, I always think of my Ebbies in this program and the miracles that I thought, you know, were... they just had an answer. And I was so excited to know that there was an answer, but I didn't want to do what I had to do to have that answer. I didn't want to work the program. I didn't want to follow these directions. I wanted to follow the directions, but I wanted to add in things that maybe I could make it better, or, you know, that suited me, because I was very selfish and self-centered and it was really all about me. And so at the end of the day, though, when I saw these people just following the directions and, you know, they were all carrying the same or similar type message. And I'm like, maybe this can, you know, it just gave me hope. It gave me hope to see people recovering from this disease that had me imprisoned. And, you know, and then I was able to do what they did. And sorry, I was not able to do what they did. I did not get myself abstinence. God did that for me, because I could never do that. I tried long and hard, and my ways never worked. And so, you know, I feel grateful all the time for the people who went before me and then carried this message. And sometimes when I'm not wanting to carry the message, or when I'm not wanting to show up at a meeting and share, and I just want to listen, you know, God always nudges me and says, people need to hear the message that you're carrying, because I needed to hear it. And that's how we carry it. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandy M. The line is now open for sharing on what was just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Michelle F.
Stephen G.
Johan N.
Okay, so far I have Michelle S., Stephen G., and Johan M. Shelley E., are you back on the line yet? No? Okay. Anyone else like to share?
Felicia
Mary
G.
I heard Felicia, and there was someone else, please.
Mary G.
Okay. All right, anyone else? Okay, let's go with our lineup then, please. We have Michelle S., Stephen G., Johan M., Felicia, and Mary G. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Hi, I'm Michelle, compulsive overeater and food addict, recovered just for today. I like this paragraph. I remember the time that televangelism was really big, and so my version of the chicanery and everything that turned Bill off were the televangelists, you know, and I really didn't like all the born-again stuff because it was smug, I felt, and self-righteous, and they clearly thought they were superior, you know, and it never struck me that they were possibly trying to be helpful or kind or any of that. So my mind was pretty clicked off all religion, but I knew that I was missing something, and I knew that I wished that I believed in God like they did. And so when I got to this program, I wasn't certain it was going to work for me. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to try it, and hopefully it'll work. They say that I can get this, so I'm going to try it. And that was probably the first act of faith or trust I've really done in a long time. And through that process, I did find a God of my understanding. And now that I think about it, I think what paved the way for me to be willing to do this program, besides being hopelessly addicted to food and other things, was I met some people who, I didn't know it at the time, but they were Al-Anon. And they were not what I considered religious people to be. They were very unstuffy. They were very unself-righteous. They were very kind. And what they offered was not offered as like, you know, you should do this. It was here. This is what's helped us. We're happy to share it. And that was new for me. And I remember those people very fondly because I eventually made my way here. And I want to write them sometime and say, hey, I made it. I made it to the rooms. But that's, I think, what turns people off is that holier-than-thou, that self-righteousness, that smugness, you know, that because we have a spirituality or believe in a God or have a God, that makes us somehow better than our fellows. And if we can leave that off, you know, we can keep people's minds open to this program, and they'll get there. They'll find their own God of their understanding. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle S. Stephen G., it's your turn. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, Lynn. Good morning. Thanks for your service. This is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I was just like Bill. I had lots of prejudices about organized religion. And much like him, I was biased by the human defects that I would see in religious people and in religious institutions. And so that would make me, and I was biased by other people's conception of God. And so that made me say, well, this whole thing doesn't work. But behind all those things was this reality of this higher power that actually exists. And the two things that I needed were, first of all, I needed to be absolutely hopeless, just like Bill Wilson was here. I tried everything else. And then when I was hopeless, I was willing to open my mind and be willing to reconsider my prejudices. That was the first thing. I had to be hopeless. But the second thing is I had to see something that gave me hope. And if Ebby had come to Bill and he just talked, he'd just given Bill a bunch of words, that wouldn't have been enough. Bill had to actually see something, right? He sees this guy. He knew he was a miserable alcoholic, incurable. And now he's seeing him with a cheery voice, fresh-skinned and glowing, speaking matter-of-factly, not ranting. And that's what gave him hope. Suddenly, he's not hearing the words of people talking about what God is. He's seeing the actual effects of the higher power. And that's what happened to me when I met people in OA who had recovered. So that's a good reminder to me now that I'm recovered, is when I'm trying to present something to people who are trying to get recovered, it really doesn't matter what I say. What are my actions like? What do I look like? Do I look peaceful? Am I in a healthy body weight? And when I am those things, then it will cause people to reconsider their prejudices and really have an open mind about this higher power and what this higher power can do if we take certain steps and certain actions. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. Johan M., it's your turn. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, a good day. It's a good day for me. my name is Johan N., N like in Nancy. And I'm calling from Falun in Sweden, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for service and for the share so far. Amazing to listen, sit there and listen. And this is also an amazing paragraph in Big Book. When I came to OA, I was desperate. I was looking to get help, any help. I was looking for a sponsor in Sweden. It was kind of hard to find a recovered sponsor in Sweden. I found one and I started working the steps, but I wasn't really honest. In the steps, I wasn't really honest with my food plan. So after a few months, I went out, and I had to change sponsor. And this time, I broadened my view, and I found a sponsor in UK, and he introduced me to these meetings, to this Vision for You meetings, and I started listening in on these meetings. I also got really honest about my food plan. I worked through the steps really fast, and as a result of that, I had a spiritual experience where the obsession was lifted from me overnight, which was a real miracle. And about this paragraph, a few months ago, I had to change sponsor again. And this time, I really looked for a sponsor that had what I wanted. And I found a sponsor here in Vision that really had what I wanted. And I I asked him to be my sponsor and to continue the work in Big Book in step 10, 11, and 12. And I could really see that he had recovered, and I was looking this time really for a sponsor that meant business, and I got one really. So I'm so grateful for this, so grateful for this program. I'm coming on to 17 months now, God willing, in a few days. I mean, it's just a miracle. And the fight is over. And that is such a miracle as well. And God is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And today I live in step 10, 11, and 12, one day at a time. I do my 11 step morning, night. I do my 10 step during the day. And I do several 10 steps a day. And step 12, which is the real thing, to get the sponsor and take guys through this program. That is such a blessing, and that is what's really keeping me abstinent. So I'm so grateful for these meetings, for good sponsorship within OA, Big Book, and the steps. And there is a solution. It's possible to recover. Thank you so much. I'll pause.
Thank you, Johan N. Felicia, it's your turn. And can we have the initial of your last name, please?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Felicia D. Lake Door.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I love this. I love this. It still floors me, I think. I'm working on step 10 and 11 now, and it still floors me that there is this loving, higher power that has breathed life back into other people and is doing so for myself with food. When I was in the food, and for a long time, even after having become acquainted with OA, I just couldn't imagine that there could be a higher power that would care about the food that I put in my system. Even though I was torturing myself and abusing myself, I wasn't focused on that. I was simply focused on why would a higher power care about food? Instead of, if a higher power loves me, why wouldn't it care about food and want to help me to have recovery? And when I, you know, came back in July after about 25-year relapse, you know, I could hear in my sponsor's voice that she, you know, she believed that this would work, and this was working for her. And I was definitely beaten into submission because of my own self-will for so long, and that made me become willing to, you know, my idea about miracles was drastically revised right at that moment, right July 8th, absolutely revised. And I became willing to believe that a higher power could care about my food and could care about me in this new way. And following these vision meetings and the vision process has just only reinforced that. And I'm so super grateful for all these meetings. And thank you so much for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Felicia D. And Mary G., it's your turn. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Press
this
star
is
one. Oh, there you are.
Thank you. Sorry, I had couldn't get to my keypad. This is Mary G. from Mesa, Arizona, and recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you all for your service. And I really appreciated the first speaker who said, you know, it's so much more comfortable for me to not share. But I was really nudged with this paragraph because in the rooms of OA, I had been in the rooms for 17 years, and I was a chronic relapser. And I went to a meeting, and nothing in OA had floored me at that time. I knew I was at the right place, but I just could not find what I wanted. I kept looking for a way to be normal. And so I went to a meeting where it was a distance from my house, probably about 30, 35 minutes from my house. And I went there, and everyone except for myself was in a normal body weight. And I was so shocked. I remember just thinking, this just can't be OA. I've never seen anything like this. And at that moment, I think that little seed of hope, which was the miracle for me, you know, became present. They had a book of before and after pictures. And I would look at those pictures and go, this is not the same person. This couldn't be the same person. They don't look anything like their picture. And I thought, gosh, you know, I had really, truly almost given up. And I thought, could this actually work for me? And, you know, I started to, you know, become very honest and willing to learn from someone else what to do with my food, because that had always been my problem. I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to keep certain foods, certain behaviors on my food plan, and it never worked. It never worked. And I'm so grateful that I stayed in the rooms for the miracle, you know, and I'm so grateful that, you know, the people who were at that meeting, who invited me to that meeting, did that. And today I'm grateful for this meeting, for the meetings on the phone, as I have a disability that I'm not able to get out to face-to-face meetings very easily, and especially with COVID, I'm not. And so I'm grateful for all of you today and for the fact that this program does work. And it took me a long, long time to get to the miracle. But once I saw it and once I wanted it, I reached out and grabbed it, and I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Mary G. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are continuing our study of Bill's story on page 11, the fifth paragraph. That floored me. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Rob H.
Danielle W.
Beth
M. Beth M. B.
Okay, I heard Rob H., Danielle W., and Beth. Who else was there, please?
Delphine.
Sorry, I heard two people at once.
Stephanie P.
Stephanie? Okay, somebody seems to be walking. There's quite a lot of background noise.
Delphine B.
Okay, I'm sorry. I still can't get it. I've got a Stephanie P., I think. Who was the last person?
Yes. Marilyn K.
Okay,
Marilyn,
this is the line. This is the lineup I have: Rob H., Danielle W., Beth, Stephanie P., Marilyn K., and there was one other. Nope. Okay, let's go with that lineup, please. If everybody could please mute their phones, except for Rob H. Good morning, Rob.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Rob H., compulsive over here from upstate New York. I just heard the word floored, and it made me think of before this program, when I was, actually on the floor because I had a back spasm, and that really floored me. I couldn't get up, and I needed help from the ambulance, and they brought me to the ER and got some medicine, and I got out of there, thankfully.
Excuse me just for a second, Rob. Are you on speakerphone?
Oh, sorry. Yes. Hold on.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Sure. So that word floor really got to me. And lately these days, after going through the program and going through the steps with my sponsor, it is much easier to get up off the floor, especially when I'm doing my exercises, which I'm going to do after this meeting. you know, that's something that I really struggle with myself. And I notice when I pray to the higher power for help doing my exercise, I'm able to do it. And so I'm just grateful to have this program to help me realize that there is a higher power out there, and I just have to ask for help, and it'll help me do it. And my meals are almost all done for the day. I have, you know, two abstinent meals that I just made, and things are going well for me. Yesterday was kind of a rough day, but I reached out to my sponsor this morning. I might do some writing as well and reach out to other fellows at some point. And hopefully, with God's help, I can do all these things and get exercise and have a good day. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Great. Thank you very much, Rob H. And Danielle W., it's your turn, followed by Stephanie P. Oh, sorry, followed by Beth. Please go ahead, Danielle.
Thank you. I'm Danielle W., compulsive overeater, and very grateful to be here this morning. And thank you for all the shares. I love this paragraph. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. When I first came to the rooms and people would talk about God, I almost turned around and walked out the door. But I knew that I needed to be there. I knew there was nowhere left to go. I tried everything else. And I remember when I started to work with a sponsor and I started to look at the God of my understanding, I had to really look at all of the prejudice and all the resentments that I had carried through my life that were blocking me. And I think the two things that were problematic for me, the first is being raised in a very, I wouldn't say religious home, but certainly a fundamental part of our family life, was this idea that I would behave in a certain way, I'd go to confession, and then I would apologize as I was instructed to, but nothing really changed. And I didn't really understand, you know, my behavior. The other thing was watching other people who professed to be religious, but I just didn't see, I saw some really bad behavior. So the thing that really moves me in this program is this idea of cleaning the channel so that the light can get through. And when I see people now who I believe to be spiritual, where the miracles happen, that I see in the rooms of OA and other 12-step programs, I think that the miracle is in this, not only the relationship with the higher power, but the way in which we get there. You know, we can't have a relationship we can't be close to if we haven't cleaned the channel and then kept it clean. And that, I think, the authenticity of that, the honesty of that, the work involved in that, that's where I see the miracle. That's where I see people who have what I want. And, you know, they are fearless in their moral inventory. They are working that program all the time so that they're living a clean life. And for me, you know, it just completely changed the idea of religion and spirituality to something that I want to work at every single day. There's no hypocrisy in it for me. It's just completely authentic. And it shines in the people who walk the walk and live in the steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Danielle W. And Beth, it's your turn. And could we have the initial of your last name, please?
Yes, this is Beth M., as in Mary. And I'm from San Francisco, California. And the part that I want to focus on is when Bill was looking across the table at Ebby, when he saw the difference, he actually recognized the miracle. And there's been so many miracles in my decades of being in OA that I ignored. And I'm starting to see those little miracles. It doesn't have to be this huge thing like a burning bush or you know, a bright light. It could just be something simple. And I'm starting to see those simple things. And I'm a little bit scared because I have been in OA so long. And it feels like almost that because I've been here so long that I don't deserve the fact that I'm recovered and that it's working thanks to a vision for you, thanks to my vision for you sponsor, thanks to the big book and Bill. And I just really appreciate all the miracles. And that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth M. And Stephanie P., it's your turn. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Stephanie P., compulsive overeater. Glad to be on the meeting. I just love this paragraph where Bill just saw the hope in Abby and saw the light. And, you know, the one sentence that really stuck out to me was, here was something in the human heart done the impossible. His ideas were revised. And, you know, the word impossible stands out to me because I thought it was impossible to, which it is impossible on my own power, to recover from this disease. But I really feel like God finally surrendered me. My scale obsession, binging, restricting, over-exercising, the whole cycle. And I used to try and let one of them go or two of them go and hang on to, you know, maybe a couple of the other behaviors, but that doesn't work. I figured that out by trial and error over time. And, you know, it's so important that, you know, I get a sponsor followed by working the steps and taking action because I can't do it alone. And, you know, I think that that the power, you know, hadn't, you know, originated in him is what it says, and had this power originated in him, obviously it had not. And I feel like I said before, that God had surrendered me. I really felt like it was truly a miracle when things shifted for me, and it wasn't too long ago. And, you know, I became willing to believe in a power greater than myself and that this power could really restore me to sanity. And in the past, I used to feel like, wow, like I can do this myself and I can just do it by taking action. But like, I can't do it without God, without my higher power and without others. And it's just a beautiful thing that, you know, Bill finally saw the light in Abby, which gave Bill hope. And that's what I've been, you know, needing is hope. And then, you know, I can continue from there. So anyways, good to be on the meeting and hope everybody has a good day. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie P. Marilyn K., it's your turn. Please go ahead.
Marilyn K., and I'm from Beaverton, Oregon, and I've been listening to Vision for You and really benefiting from it, and I'm mostly sharing just to claim my seat that I felt like I needed to talk and not just listen. This paragraph speaks a lot to me, especially the sentence that it says about miracles. And I, in the 1980s, was working as a nurse practitioner in an alcohol and drug treatment program. And I, the more I was involved, the more I saw that the way that they used alcohol and drugs, I used food. And I feel like that helped spur me into Overeaters Anonymous. And through the decades, I've had many different miracles. The most important miracle has been that finally, after I had this compulsion to eat more with my meals, I went in my room and I prayed, and the compulsion was taken away. And I have to keep remembering that when that compulsion returns, that I just have to ask God for help, which I do. Unfortunately, I'm at my goal weight. But a couple years ago, I was sitting in a meeting with a woman who was not actually at her goal weight, but she's getting there. But was the epiphany of what I really wanted to live my life peaceful. And I saw her living it through the big book, that she would pause, she would ask God for help. She would, before she'd eat, she'd ask God for help. And to me, that was a miracle. I had a particular abstinent plan, but it was more mine. But with that, I've helped to grow. So I think each of us, either what we share on phone meetings or by being on Zoom or in hopefully we can get back to regular meetings, that just by being there, how much we can touch other people's lives. And that's why I decided to share, and I'll pass for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn Kay. And Delphine, would you like to share? Press star 1 to unmute, please. Okay, sorry, we're not getting anything there. All right, so the line is now open for sharing on what we just read, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me to hear everybody. Is Shelley E. back on the line? No? Okay. Who else would like to share, please?
Barbara W.
Okay. I heard a Barbara.
Steph Knight.
And who else?
Pardon Steph me? Knight.
Steph?
Steph, S-T-E-F, Knight.
Steph Knight?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Anyone else?
Janice K.
Okay, I think that's good for our time. So we have Barbara, Steph Knight, and Janice K. So Barbara, can I have the initial of your last name, please?
Yes, W.
Please go ahead.
Good morning, fellow travelers. My name is Barbara W., and I live in Olympia, Washington. And this paragraph stirred how my faith has grown in this program. I grew up in a organized religion, nothing heavy duty. It was more mom made sure that I got to church. And from that foundation, I this is how I connected with other people. And it was, I've been in this OA program for many, many years, and my grandmother. But what I heard in this paragraph was the hope that I'd gone through different, I'll try this or I'll try that. And I kept the more organized religion for a long time until actually it was, I was on a date with a gentleman, and we ended up at this faith community. And I was so impressed by the kindness and the caring and how they treated the children. And so I started doing that, and it occurred to me that how much it was like my 12 steps. And from there, I realized I had moved from organized religion into a faith community, a spiritual community, that it was inclusive. And from my earliest memory, my mother had always been very open to other cultures, and through her teaching. And when I've also been a chronic relapser. I almost hate that word, but that's been the story of my life. And I'm at 5.5 months of abstinence, and extremely grateful for the amount of hope and faith that the Vision community has opened up to me. It's like I'm persistent. If I run into a snag, or if someone comes on too strong in their faith, or how they connect with their higher power, I've learned not to judge them, but to let them find their own path. And sometimes it fits with mine and sometimes it doesn't. And I've learned that that's okay, that that's their choice and I've made my choice.
Time, please.
And I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara W. And I apologize to the next person. I'm still not clear on your name. Is it Steph K or is Steph Knight your first name?
Yes, Steph or Stephanie K Knight. We're here among friends, so I can put my last name out there. It's okay. So Stephanie Knight from St. Louis.
So please go ahead.
Okay. This paragraph, what a beautiful picture, because now we're seeing from the top of page 11, Bill, you know, rationalizing what he thinks is, you know, his relationship with a higher power, making excuses about why he doesn't want to believe, and we see how this thought process is going through, and now we get to this paragraph, and all that head knowledge that Bill had is now sinking into the heart, and I mean, I had a similar experience. I was, you know, consider myself a very intelligent person. You know, I rationalized why I couldn't believe in a power greater than myself or God. And I made, you know, I scoffed at and I mocked all the religions and the religious people. I thought they were out just to, you know, kill my buzz off, you know, sugar. And, you know, when I got into step two, my sponsor said, why don't you just make a list of everything you need a higher power to be. And I thought, well, I mean, I'm religious enough to think that that's kind of like against what God would want me to do, but I just did it. I didn't care because I was completely beat up by the food. And so I made all this huge list of what I thought I needed God to be. And I presented it to her and she's like, that's great. Now you can start, you know, making a relationship with this higher power. And, you know, when I got to the end of the 12 steps, my list really didn't matter. I just really just wanted to be what God wanted me to be rather than God be what I wanted him to be. And it was just an about face. And God always was everything on that list all along. I figured out, I'm like, well, that was kind of cool. But I had to go back, like Bill, my ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. I had to go back too and say, you know, where did I pick up some of these faults? Ideas, beliefs, and attitudes about the world's religions or churches, you know, things like that, and about God himself. And that's my higher power, is God himself. It's pretty simple. And I had to go back and just, you know, understand that I picked up some of these false beliefs when I was little. And I was doped up on sugar and everything else, you know, my six key ingredients since I was age six. So, I mean, there's a lot of decades and a lot of years, you know, picking up these things that I was just drunk on food. And I went back and I looked at them and I went, you know, I can change my idea about that. And one of those ideas was I thought God would hurt me if I wasn't good enough or if I wasn't following, you know, to the exact and precise directions that he wanted me to do. And I really didn't understand that the God I serve now is a God full of grace. You know, he's happy with whatever I do. He loves me no matter what. No matter what I do, the love has always been there.
Time, please.
And yes, and now I just feel like I just have to step closer to God each and every day because he's already everything that I need. And maybe he'll be everything that your higher power wants to be to you too. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Steph K. And Janice K., you'll be our last person to share. And we've got 2 minutes, Janice, so please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Janice K. in Oregon. I have been on both sides of this table now, and I'm just, wow, I have been in Bill's position where I just sat down and I looked at people and I said, just teach me. Tell me what to do. What do I do next? Where do you want me to go? Tell me what you want. I want to be like you. And I've been in Ebby's position, not nearly as long as I was in Bill's, but I've been in Ebby's position when I look and I see the sorrow and the grief and the pain and I think, this way, come this way, over here. I tell people if OA was a religion, I would be a Bible pounding fundamentalist saying, this is what I believe. This is what worked for me. I'm here. Share the light. Share the light. This is what you do. This is where you come. The directions are here. So I just feel like you reach a point and it just wants to explode out of you. And you have to share it. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you so much for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice Kay. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Thursday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie W. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Lynn. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.